Kof Beis Sivan, Friday the 31st of May, Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Chizik, a Parsha theme.
Good morning, everyone. We discuss various different topics in the Parsha. I want to begin by talking about the Parsha of the Mekoshesh Eitzim at the end of the this week's Parsha. The Pasuk begins, Vayihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, Vayimtzu ish Mekoshesh Eitzim yom haShabbos. The Yidden were in the desert and they found someone being Mekoshesh Eitzim on Shabbos. So the first kasha is, all the Mefarshim Shtelenzach, why does it say Vayihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar? Rova Parshish Shabbatoira, most of the Parshish happened in the Midbar. Why does it have to say, and the Yidden were in the Midbar? Why is that a Hakdoma, a necessary Hakdoma for this Parsha Mekoshesh? So many Terutzim in the Mefarshim. I want to tell you over one or two Shein HaMahachim. The Racham HaKodesh, let me say the Shagasaria was Machavan as well, so the beautiful Mahalach. He says the following. He says, the Gemara Shabbos says, according to one Banda Omar, that the Mekoshesh was being Mavir Dalad Amos, he was carrying Dalad Amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. That was his Avera, that's why he was Chayav Misa. But the Kasha is, the Gemara says in the beginning of Shabbos Davov, that the Midbar, Holchei Midborios, can't be chayav for Mavi B'Shus Arabim. Why? Because the Midbar is a Karmelis. The Midbar is not an area of Rish called B'Shus Arabim. It doesn't fulfill the criteria of B'Shus Arabim. It's only called a Karmelis. And therefore the Gemara says, the Holchei Midborios, it's not called B'Shus Arabim. But the Gemara asked the Stira, what about B'Shas B'nei Yisrael in the Midbar? The Gemara says, because when the B'nei Yisrael were in the Midbar, because they had 600,000 people walking through the desert every single day, so that became, B'Shas they were there with even the desert became Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. So the fear that the Racham HaKadosh wants to say, Dos is Pshat in the Pasuk. You, B'nai Yisrael Midbar, it's important to point it out, to explain the background, the Yidden in the desert. Memela, the desert got Halach of Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Memela, the Mekoshesh was Chayav, according to that Manda Omer. Shein Azach, according to that, it stems also, the Gemara, Daf Tzadik Vov Nishabbos brings from Rabbi Akiva that the Mekoshesh was Tzalofchod. How does Akiva know the Mekoshesh was Tzalofchod? Because the Gemara makes a Gzeir Shova, and when the Benois Tzalofchod, the Parshas Pinchas, when they spoke to Moshe, they said, Ovinu Meis Bamidbo. And the Gemara makes a Gzeir Shova, Bamidbo, Bamidbo, the Gemara works out from there that the Mekoshesh must have been Tzalofchod. What's the connection of Bamidbar? According to this, it's very nice. The Bamidbar was very important, inherent to the actual Chiyav. What is Chiyav Misa was because the Yidden were in the Midbar. But that only stems according to the Manda Omar that says that the Mekoshesh was Mavid Aladamas B'Shus Arabin. But there's another two other Manda Omar in the Gemara. The Gemara says, another Manda Omar says, that Mekoshesh was Toilash. He was uprooting on Shabbos. Or another Manda Omar says he was Ma'amah. He was bundling on Shabbos. How does this Hakdoma of Vayihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar fit in according to those two Manda Omrim? So Maral Diskin says that the emissaries you can ask on the other two Manda Omrim, where did he find wood and Gidulei Karka in the desert? Where did they find wood? I mean, it could be Ma'ama, plants, or Toilish. Where do you find the desert such things? Now the Medrash says Maral Diskin, and when the Yidden were in the desert, the Be'eiro Shel Miriam, not just it gave them to drink, but the Be'er Shel Miriam also was Mashke, or Males, Roim, it planted, wherever they went, there was an oasis. Wherever the Eden were, was an oasis. So the Maral Diskin says, Dos is Pshat, Vayihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, according to the Manda Omar, who says, Toilish, or Ma'ama, it's explaining how come there was even plants, Gidulei Karka, in the Midbar, and for that, the Pasuk is Makdim, the Eden were in the desert, and that's why, Vayimtzu Ish v'Koshesh Eitzim. But the Pnei Yeshua says a different pshat based on Tosas in Bava Basra. There's a famous Tosas in Bava Basra, and Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, says the following thing. Tosas says, he brings from a medrash, that Mekoshesh Hoya B'Tchilas Mem, it was the beginning of the 40 years, it was Noch the Maisa of Meraglim, that's a Mekoshesh story happened, as it appears in the Torah, it was after the story of the Meraglim. Beginning of the 40 years, it was decreed to be in the desert. And the Mekoshesh did it L'Shem Shemayim. Why? Because Klal Yisrael, after they got the Gezerah, they're going to stay in the Shom Yitamu, they're going to die in the desert, they gave up They thought, that's it. We're not going to get Eretz Yisrael anymore. The mitzvahs don't apply to us. Mitzvahs, no averus. The whole Torah was given only b'tanai to go into Eretz Yisrael. We're not going to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Torah doesn't apply anymore. So the Mekoshesh wanted to show, L'shem Shemayim, says Tosfos, L'shem Shemayim, to show that the mitzvahs do apply, and the averus do apply, the oneshim do apply, and he deliberately went along with Machal Shabbos L'shem Shemayim to show people that the Torah still applies even to the Dor HaMidbar who are going to stay and not going to Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Not Dame, is there good the posuk? Vayihu bnei Yisrael b'midbar. The Yidden were in the desert. They were there to stay. They weren't going anywhere. They weren't going to Eretz Yisrael. So, Rabbi Yeshua, that explains. That's why the Mekoshesh did what he did, because he only did it. He was only mechal Shabbos l'shem Shemayim to show people that the Onshim and the Torah still applied, even though they weren't going to be part of the Boy Ha'aretz. So." That's why he said, well, you, they're in the desert, and that's why the Kosheish ate him, did what he did. L'shem Shemayim. So we have a few pshatim as to why the Torah was makdim, Vayihu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar. The emissary is, the Targum Yonisus is a very similar thing to Tosfos in Bava Basra. Not mamish the same, but the same sort of idea. Targum Yonisus says that, Mahavu b'nei Yisrael sharyin b'midbara, they were in the desert, Gezerath Shabsa Ishtemoid Alohoin, the dinim of Shabbos they knew, Baram Knosse de Shabsa Lo Ishtemoid Alohoin. They didn't know that the Oinshin. They knew, already in Moro they were in Itztava on Shabbos, but they didn't know the punishments. So this Yid, Kom Gavro, he got up, Omar B'Memre, he said to himself, I'll be Mechal Shabbos to show people what the Oinshin are. He doesn't say it was because of the Meraglim, he just says people weren't aware, they weren't yet Mitzuvah on the Oinshin of Shabbos. He decided this Mekoshesh to go along and do a Mechil Shabbos in order to get people to be aware of what the Onshim were. It was the same sort of Inyan of Tosfos he was doing at the Shem Shammai. So on that Tosfos, the Bava Basra of Kuf Yotes comes along the Marsha, and the Marsha asks a kasha. He says the Mekoshesh was the Shem Shammai. According to Tosfos, the Shem Shammai because of the Meraglim. According to the Targum Yonasan, was the Shem Shammai just to let people know what the Onish was. He says the Marsha, are you allowed to do such a thing? Are you allowed to do an Avera? L'shem Shemayim. What's the pshat? Do an Avera L'shem Shemayim to tell people what the Onish was, to show people the Torah still applied. What's the pshat, says the Marsha, that it's Mekoshesh did an Avera L'shem Shemayim. So Marsha answers in the Moir de Gechidish. The Marsha says that the Emes is Mekoshesh didn't really do an Avera. Why not, says the Marsha? Because he was only doing it to let people know about the Onish. To let people know that you get a chiyuv misa for chiyuv mechal Shabbos. So he wasn't doing it for the right intention. It says the Marsha, it's malocha shein etzvicha legufa. The Gemara says in Shabbos, that malocha, every malocha has to be done with the same kavanah that was done in the Mishkan. With the same purpose, the same tachlis, and the Yidden did it in the Mishkan. When you're mavi, taladam is b'shesav, your point of being mavi, or being toilish, is because you want to gain from the havorah, from the talisha. The classic example the Gemara says of a malocha shein etzvicha legufa is, choyfe boy. The inner tzorich el lafora. Someone digs a pit and only needs the pit because of he wants the earth to use the earth. He doesn't need the actual pit itself. Says the Gemara, you're not chayv. There's no chiyuv misa. It's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Says the Marsha, this Mekoshesh did a very clever thing. He did a malacha shein tzricha legufa. He didn't do it for the intention of gaining out of the havara, out of the talisha, or whatever. He did it only for the oynish, and therefore it wasn't osa b'chlal. If malacha shein tzricha legufa is osa mid rabbonon, but it wasn't yet osa yet. So the Mekoshesh did no avera. So asked the Marsha, so why did they kill him? So why did they kill him, frightened the Marsha? Why did they kill him? So Marsha says, Azal Loshen. Marsha's Loshen is, they killed him because he never told them. He never said what his intention was. The Edim were Masre boy, they warned him, the Marsha says. And he was Makabal Asra, like he's supposed to. He said, Afal Piken, I'm doing it. In his heart of hearts, he knew what he was doing. So Marsha says, Be'emes, he wasn't Chayv Misa, but it was only Devorim Shebelev. And the Basin can only go by what they see with the Edim. And the Edim came along and said that they warned him, and they told him not to do it. And he didn't tell them that I'm doing it Shaloi B'Kavon, I'm doing it for ABC. He said, I'm doing it Stam L'Malocha. So Marsha says, the Emes says he wasn't Chayv Misa. But because he was Mekabel the Hasro, and he misled the Edim, so to speak, therefore the Basin killed him. That's what Marsha says. Kumsigain Rabbachon Abbasman, the Kovit Shur and Baba Basra, he says, what's going on over here? He says, Moshe Rabbeinu went to ask the Eibishter. It's the first time they're doing a Chiv Misa in the desert. But Yoyim Hashem and Moshe, Moshe Yuma, so Ish. How can you say, for example, Chonav Asman, how can you say that the emes is this Yid Mekoshesh was Hashem Shamayim, he wasn't Chayiv Misa, Samaloch Hashem Yitzricha the Gufa, he fooled the Edim and based it to kill him. Oh, but it was Paschal, not Pi Hashem. The Eibishter Paschal, the Em Hashem HaMoshe, Mois Yomas. He can fool the Edim, he can fool based him, he can't fool the Eibishter. As I prayed Chonav Asman, and because of that he says a different Mahalach, he's Madcha the Marsha.
How did they make the
Hasrua
if they didn't know the
Misa? Oh, that's another Shaila, isn't it? The Gemara actually asks the question. The Gemara brings the Machlokes, where for Hasrua you have to master on the Oynish as well, which you have to on the Chiv. The Gemara brings a Raya from here, one Shitta brings a Raya from here, and the other Shitta says it was a Hiroa Shoh. So the Gemara asks the
question.
So Gyanki Dog Degut, that Torah Bashamayim, the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam knows what the emes was, that this Yid's Kavona was the Shev Shamayim, is Le'ma'alav Le'mayid. There's many, many Raya's, many, many Gemara's, that the Eivishter doesn't interfere. The Eivishter gave us the Torah, and we're the Bailim, and the Beis Din and the Edim have to do what they have to do. So the Eivishter wanted to say, can we tell Emperor Rabbachonos Kasha that Torah Le'bashamayim, and therefore, even though the Eivishter knew, but the Eivishter paskened according to what Beis Din should pasken, the way Beis Din see it, through the eyes of the Edim. Lemaisa, this Tosfos in Bava Basra that says that the story of the Mekoshesh happened beginning of the 40 years in the desert, beginning of the 40 years, it's not Muslim according to everyone. Not everyone agrees that that story of the Mekoshesh happened then. There's a Rashi, straight away Rashi says, brings from the Sifri, Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar of Rashi, b'gnuson shel Yisrael diber ha-kosov. It's a gnus. It was a bad thing. Tibur HaKosov, Shelo Shomru Elo Shabbos Rishayna. They only kept the first Shabbos. Or Bishniya, the second Shabbos, Bozeh V'chilala. Second Shabbos, the story of Mekoshesh happens. I mean, according to Rashi and the Sifri, the story of Mekoshesh happened much earlier. Far, far before the Meraglim. We're talking about this story must have happened already in Parshas B'Shalach. Because they got Shabbos already in Moro. And according to Rashi, this story would have happened one Shabbos after Moro. Okay, so it's Machloikis Medroshim, it's Machloikis Tosfos brings the Medrash, it says it happened later on, after Meraglim, according to Rashi, Shem the Sifri, it happened earlier, but say that's Machloikis Medroshim. But the Kashi is abyssal. Targum Yonison says that he was doing it to Shem Shamayim, nothing to do with the Meraglim. Targum Yonison says he was doing it to Shem Shamayim because people weren't aware of the Oynish. They knew of the Loshen is, they knew about Gezeiras Shabsa Ishtamoyd Alahon, they knew the Halochas of Shabbos. Baram knosed the Shabbos Eloish the Maidan. They didn't know the Misa. So the Targum Yonison is not saying it happened after the Meraglim. He's just saying they didn't know the Misa. So according to Targum Yonison, the Chayra, it's not Begnuson Shel Yisrael Dibar HaKosov. It's not really the Genai, did it the Shem Shamayim. How do you shtim, if you want to put together the Targum Yonison who says that he did it the Shem Shamayim to let people know the Oynish, how do you make that shtim together with the Sifri that says Begnuson Shel Yisrael Dibar HaKosov?
There was no Misa, only the Rabbi Shimon said he should be killed.
Right.
So how did the Dushul HaShemayim to... Then he did the Abayah, he didn't know he was going to get Misa.
He knew there was a punishment, they didn't know what the Oynish was. He said they didn't know what the punishment was.
They didn't know you had to ask the punishment.
They didn't know what the punishment... doesn't mean they knew there was an Oynish, but they didn't know what the Oynish was. It's Mashmah, they knew there was a Knas, they didn't know what the Knas was. So it's Mashmah, they didn't know what the Oynish was. I wonder if there was an Oynish. So the Panei Yeshua and Shabbos of the Gevalde Gechap. The Pnei Yeshua and Shabbos are the Helech Echap to explain how Targum Yonison, who says that he did it Lashem Shamayim, can shtim together with the Sifri, who says, Begnuson Shel Yisrael Dibar HaKosov. Pnei Yeshua says as follows. Pnei Yeshua says, where does the Gemara learn out all the Melachos of Shabbos? Where do they learn from? The Gemara learns out from the Mishkan. Says the Pnei Yeshua, and where's the Mekor that Melachos She'ena Tzricha Legufa is Potter? It's only from the Mishkan, because it has to be done with the Kavana of what was... of what was done in the Mishkan. Says the Pnei Yeshua Chiddush. Before the Hakomas HaMishkan, they already had Shabbos. They were Dochnet Stava by Mora. So what happened all the time in between Mora and between the Mishkan was set up? So the Pnei Yeshua, it wasn't yet learned from the Mishkan, therefore there was no Petur of Melocha Shein Tzricha Legufa. There was no Petur of Melocha Shein Tzricha Legufa before the Mishkan. Because, Pnei Yeshua says, it was only learned from the Mishkan.
Where did the
Luchas come from? No, the Melacha, Shabbos was given in Moro. Shabbos was given. Where was
the Mishkan?
Weisdo is the word the Melacha is given. That's what you have to say. So Bnei Yeshua says, it depends. Before, if you learn, like in Sifri, that happened in the Shabbos Shini, after second Shabbos after Morah, then it makes a lot of sense. Begnus on Shel Yisrael, Dibur HaKosov. It was like a begnus, because even though he did it Hashem Shamayim, oh, it's not called the Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, because we haven't yet got the Makoros of Mishkan. Oh, but the Targum Yonis is not the Bnei Yeshua. The Targum Yonis is like going, according to the Medrash, that it happened later. Happened after the Meraglim. So, according to that, that was ready after the Mishkan was given. So then it makes sense to be Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. So this Yid Mekoshesh, he did it the Shem Shemayim. Now, it depends when the story happened as to whether he had a Patur Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa or not. If the story happened early, before the Mishkan, there was no Patur Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. If it happened later, already after the Mishkan, then he did. As long as not the Bnei Yeshua. So I want to move on now to a different Indian in the Parsha. Beginning of the Parsha, after the Meraglim, state by Yahas Kolev Esa'om. And Kolev kept the people quiet. So where was Yehoshua? Where was Yehoshua there? So Pashtus, we learn that Yehoshua, he didn't want to say anything because people would accuse him of being Moshe's Talmud, so sticking up for Moshe. So therefore, it had to be Kolev who kept the Yidden quiet, because Yehoshua wouldn't have been as powerful because he was not Moshe's close Talmud. But the Gemara in Sotah and the Flamed Hay is a different Pashat. The Gemara in Sotah and the Flamed Hay. It's a big Kiddush. Not such a known Gemara. Gemara Sotah says, the emissary of Yeshua Taka did start speaking. Yeshua started speaking. No, what happened? Posach Yeshua. Yeshua started speaking. The Komishto, he started trying to handle with the Eden. Not mentioned in the Torah, but mentioned in the Gemara. Omri Lei, the Eden said back to him, Din Rosh Ketir Yemalel. Someone has got a Rosh Ketir, a chopped head. Yemalel, he's going to speak. So Kolev thought, you know what, he better start talking over here, because Yeshua, the Olam are not respecting Yeshua. Vos mein dos Rosh Ketir, says Rashi. Rosh Ketir means, she'en lo yibonim litoil chelek bo'oretz. He hasn't got any sons to take a chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Hu yadabri b'foneinu, that means Yeshua didn't have any sons. And therefore he didn't have to worry about his family going to Eretz Yisrael. So him speaking and sticking up for Eretz Yisrael didn't have as powerful effect as Kolev had the Mishpoch. Now the Mashal there asked Akasha on Rashi, he Mashal makes a cheshbon, according to his calculations, Yeshua was 42 years old at the time of the Meraglim. So Mashal says, why, how can Rosh Ketir, Rashi say, means he didn't have children? Azvos, he could still have children. Yeshua lived to the ripe old age of 110. He could many, many years to have children. Vos is, so he didn't have children. He could have had children. Now, the Gemara Megillah, Yudaldam Abbas, at the bottom of the page there says that Yeshua didn't have bonim, or but Avol Bantan Havanei. The Gemara says daughters he did have. He had daughters. So she's taking Gemara. The Gemara says Yeshua had daughters. Fred the Torah Tamima of Rashi and other Kasha. If he had daughters, daughters are doch Yerush. Banayis Telavcha. They're doch Yerush. Ah, you're going to say perhaps the Eden didn't yet know yet the halacha of Yerusha until later on. Or bezot the Torah Tamima is nishtemes. Because if you look in the Gemara of Basra, it's clear that Yerusha's Habonois was known to them. The whole issue of Benois Tzolofchod was with Chelek HaBachoyra. That was the whole issue. Gemara of Basra, a lot of Rishonim say over there. And the whole shaila of the Yerusha's Habonois was not about the actually Yerusha's Pshutim, but the Gabi Yerusha's HaBachoyra, what to do. That was the shaila. So they knew about Yerusha. So why were they shouting at Yeshua saying, you're Rosh Ketir? So the Marshal over there, and the emphasis is that on the side of the Gemara of Sotah, in the Flamet Hay, bring a different pshat from the Oruch, another pshat. Vos mein dos Rosh Ketir. So the Oruch says, azar pshat, what does it mean, Rosh Ketir? Pirish, lehochi korolei Rosh Ketir, lefisha koroi Moshe Yehoshua. Because Moshe called him Yehoshua, koloima, Rosh Shemoi Kotua, lefisha hayud ois Ketirhi. The top of his name is Kotua, the beginning letter of his name is Kotua, because he's got a yud, which Moshe gave him, and the yud is a obgahakta letter, it's a chopped off letter. What's it mean? Rosh Ketir, they shout to Yeshua, you're Rosh Ketir, but your first letter is a Ogahakta letter. So to understand this, Davon Abyssal Fashtein, what does it mean that Moshe gave Yeshua this extra yud? I first stated in the Meforshim, first in the Rashi, that Moshe took a yud, Rashi says in Parshas, in Bereshit already, Rashi says that Moshe took a yud from Sarai, and he gave it to Yeshua, while the yud complained, and therefore Moshe gave it to Yeshua. It's pshat. What's pshat b'chlal that Moshe took the yud and gave it to Yeshua? So mezok dazoy. Understand what was the name change that Sora went through, between Sorai and Sora. What's the chiluk, Sorai, Sora? So the Mephoroshim say over there that Sorai and Sora comes from the Loshon Sar. A minister, someone who's in charge of something. Sorai, she had to first be a Sar over herself. Sorai means a Sar Ibazich, a Sar on myself. Soro means a Sar over others. So the Mephoroshim say that for Sora to undergo the change, she had to first be a Sar over herself. And then she could be a Sar over other people. Bashlim HaMelech, state Bashlim HaMelech that he was, when Ashmedai threw him off his throne, the Loshon which is used is, he was Nishar Melech al Makloi. He remained a king over his stick. What's made us a king over his stick? That means he wasn't a Soroh anymore, he wasn't a Bailim over the world anymore, but he was a Bailim Ibazich, was a Bailim on top of himself. Chaim Sholevitz used to say over a story, that when Yeshiva Mir were in Shanghai, he said that there was a Gavinish Yid who was supporting the Yeshiva, a man who was living there before the communists took over. He was a very wealthy Yid over there in Shanghai. And he supported the Yeshiva, and he gave me a lot of money, B'shas, the Eitz Tzora. Eventually, when the Yeshiva moved to Eretz Yisrael, and this Yid stayed in Shanghai, he lost all his money. About 1947-48, the communists took over, and he was Yotzi, Nokim and Achosov, he lost everything. Chaim Sholevitz found out that this Yid moved to Eretz Yisrael. He had nothing, and he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in a little apartment in Haifa. So Chaim, al Tzakoros HaToyv, decided to go and pay a visit to this Yid. So he went to this Yid to visit him, and he had Mamash Adiras Cheda, one-room apartment, and he knocked on the door, and the Yid answered the door, and he says, "Oh, Rav Chaim, Kum Tzarayin, wait over here in my Kabbalah's Ponim room. I'll go to the porch and fetch this. I'm going to go to the front room, back room." He was talking, he's got a palace, a Retzach, Chiluk Chalomus, he's got this, got that, just wait over here, I'm going to go call the maid. Rav Chaim thought the man was Mamish, it's lost. He thought the man had lost it. And he spoke to the Yid a little bit more, and he realized, Emes is Mamish Baket. The Yid hadn't lost anything. This Yid, he could have been a Yayish, coming from where he came from, to living in a little room in Haifa. But instead, he was, says Rav Chaim, he was Nisha Melech HaMakloi. He decided, listen, what's a bit more, a bit less, makes no difference. As long as I'm in control, and I feel good about myself, that's all that matters. I can make even a porch, and a dus, and a yens, out of even a cheder tzimmer. Rav Chaim, son of Spoil. And he went back to Yeshiva Mir, and he got up and gave a shmuz, based on this Yid, and on this Gemara that says, Melech HaMakloi. By Avraham Avinu also, to state that he only became Avraham after he was shoylet on Ramachi Vorim. Rashi says Avraham as gematria Ramachi Vorim. After he was shoylet on himself, he was then able to be shoylet on others to be called the Av Hamoyim Goyim. Come back to our original shayla. Why did Moshe give this letter of the Yud from Sorai to Yeshua? The feed is explained as follows. Moshe saw in Yeshua that Yeshua was an Onov. Azoshte Targum Yonison as well, that Moshe saw that Yeshua was an Onov, and he was worried that Yeshua would be easily influenced. If you're an Onov, then Pshat, if you go with the flow, you don't want to make a fuss. Moshe was nervous that Yeshua was going to be influenced by the other Rabbi, because he was not an Onov. And therefore, Moshe said to Yeshua, I'll give you Eitz HaTorah. You Dibestoch, the future Manig of Klal Yisrael. Yeshua, you're the future manik. To be a leader, you have to be able to stand up and be shoylet over achirim. But how do you do that? If you are such an onov, such a humble person? So for that, Moshe told Yeshua, if you take the yud from Sarai and you work on being shoylet al atzmacho, take the yud from Sarai and be shoylet on yourself, you'll then be able to shoylet on other people as well and not fall into the eighth of the meraglim as well. That's pshat, that the Gemara says, that Yidin said back to Yeshua, you are Rosh Ketua. Why Rosh Ketua? Because he was saying to Yeshua, you've got that Yud that Moshe Rabbeinu gave you, which he borrowed from Sarai, to teach you how to be a money on yourself, and then on other people as well. That means, you're eventually going to end up going to Eretz Yisrael and be a money. So how do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael? You've got the money. They knew already the Nevuah of Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnis, and therefore you're going to be the money taking Yidin to Eretz Yisrael. The Mela, what you say, carries no weight, because of course you want to go. That's why the Kolev had to speak, because Yeshua was a Rosh Ketir. That's that inyan. There's one final inyan I want to speak about, which is, Pasuk says, V'hayomim yemei bikurei anovin. When they went, it was yemei bikurei anovin. So why does it mention B'chal yemei bikurei anovin? It's a pashtus you learn, because later on in the Pasuk, it says they took an eshkol, they took grapes. So the Pasuk now is telling you that it was maybe Kurei Anovim. Arizal says, the embassy is, you may be kuri anovim is meramez, is a remez over here. It's a remez that bikurim is machapon chet meraglim. And it makes perfect sense. What was a chet meraglim? We don't want Eretz Yisrael. That was a chet meraglim. What do you say in the parsha of bikurim? You thank Hashem for Adon Moshe, of Satolonu, you thank Hashem, it's not Darizal. Bikurim is antithesis, it's the kapora for the chet meraglim. So Arizal says, it's merumez in the posuk by yomim, you may be kuri anovim. And the MS is, it's a beautiful diuk in the Mishnah. Mishnah in Bikurim, Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph, talks about Ketzad Mafrish Bikurim. The Mishnah says, Odim Eretzich Sodeyu, Roye Te'eno Shepichro, Eshkol Shepikir, Rimon Shepikir. Now the MS is, Bikurim applies to all Shevas Aminim. So why does the Mishnah say, Dafka these three? Eshkol, Rimon, and Te'eno. So the Arizal, you know why? Because those three were the three fruits which the Yidden carried, the Meraglim carried to Eretz Yisrael. It's Merumas in the Mishnah. Mishnah Dafka picks those three in Mishnah and Bikurim because those three were the ones which the Yidden have to do the Kapora specifically for. I'll finish off with Shtikel Avot from Kabbalah, which Shamshel Astropoli has said over. Shamshel Astropoli was from Gedolim and Kabbalim, who was killed Friday night making Kiddush because there is Tachmetat. There's many, many things that are left over, which he said, which some we do understand, some we don't understand, but they're all gewaldig and gewaldig geveta. Al derech hanista. Shemesh Astropoli says as follows. Targum Yonison says that the Meraglim left to go to Eretz Yisrael, Choftes Siva. That's when they left to go to Eretz Yisrael. When did they come back? 40 days later, they came back, Ches Av. And they cried that night, that was Tisha B'Av, 40 days. Says of Shamsh Astropoli, those 40 days were the 40 days, well, the 3 weeks were in those 40 days. The 3 weeks were in the 40 days. Talk of Shamsh Astropoli, that the 3 weeks is known in halacha, that's not as man mesugul for atzlocha. And the Satan has got extra koiches. The Satan, the Sitra Achra, has got extra koiches in those 3 weeks. See, so he says as Avot. In Kabbalah, the Loshon for the Yetzer Hara, don't understand much what this means, but they call it Nochosh Samach Mem. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That's the Loshon which the Kabbalim use for the Sotan. Rav Nosson Adler once said, Rebbe the Chasam Sofer once said, that, he said that by the Teva was 300 Amos long, it was 50 Amos wide, and 30 Amos high. He says, that's Shien is from the word Nochosh, the Nun is from the word, also the word Nochosh, and the Lamed is from the Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. And the Amot Chalenu Mumalo is the Aleph. What you're left with, you're left with Ches Mem Esamach. It's Kimolo Oret Chomos Mipleim. And so that was the time of the Derem Abel. But come back to over here. So Shamsh Astropoli, the word Bikurei Anovim can also be understood for Bechoir Anovim. Bechoir. What does Bechoir mean? Bechoir means the big brother, the letter before. He says, if you take the letters, Bikuri Anovim, take the Bechoir to the word Anovim, Ayin, the Bechoir for Ayin, the letter before Ayin is Samach, the letter before Nun is Mem, the letter before Ves is Aleph, and the letter before Mem is Lamed. So you have the name of the Yetzer Hara, Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. What is with the Yud? So the Chidol says the Yud, because it hasn't got any Nekudas, because it doesn't make a difference in the actual word, therefore we don't count the Yud. So, the Shalshan says that by Yomim Yemei Bikurei Anovim, the Apostle is telling us that these days were days of Bikurei Anovim, days of the Sitra Achra, and therefore a person has to be mechazik. That's why the Apostle says v'chazakten, you have to be mechazik, because it's a time, it's a shvacha time, it's a difficult time, and that's why the Yetzer Hara was able to be moishach and to be mashpia on meraglim, and that's why the Apostle says Bikurei Anovim, to tell people that this time is azman fin the samachmen.
Hi. Kept last week, we were on the subject of speaking between Kiddush, making the bruchos of Kiddush. If somebody was mafsik and he spoke between Kiddush and Shtiyas Hayayin after he said Mekadosh HaShabbos, then we said that the person has to make sure that there's nothing spoken, not the ones who are listening, not the ones who are yotze, not the person who is moitzi, the one who is actually making the kiddush. If he did speak If it had to do with the inyan of Kiddush, and he motioned either to bring a becher or to bring extra wine or something which was menuna the Kiddush, then he would not repeat the bruchas of Kiddush, because it would be motor for inyan. Although he was mafsik, or he was meramaz, and he said somebody bechelach or wine or something similar to that. But if it was completely shaloi inyan of Kiddush, and he spoke about something entirely different, for whatever reason, then he would have to go and repeat the Boir Per Gufen as well as the whole of Kiddush as well. This was we spoke about last week. And if there was a complete Hesach Hatas, I didn't mention this last week, but it's important, because if, for example, it was a Yontif, take, for example, Sikkes, and something like this happened, he made Kiddush in the Sikkes at night, and then, for whatever reason, after he'd completed the Bekat Shesuah Bazmanem, or he'd made the Shechiyuni, and he'd made everything else, Leisha Basike, and then he had an interruption. And he was Mesir Das completely. So, as we said, that he would have to repeat the Bepa Gufen and the Kiddush. However, the Birchas Shechiyuni and the Birchas Leisha Basike, he would not have to repeat, because those two Bruchas are not entirely dependent on the Kiddush in order to make them. Because the Shechiyuni on Zmani could make regardless of Kiddush, and also the Mitzvah of Leisha Basike he could make without Kiddush too, technically. We just must make it to that. That's something I did mention last week, and it's worthwhile highlighting. And finally, what we spoke about last week was the Shia for Kiddush was Kemloi Lugmov, which is like a full cheek. And the Shia of a full cheek is literally is equivalent to a Rav Revies. Some people have larger cheeks, some have smaller cheeks, and really it's a very personal issue. But technically, the Shia is a Rav Revies, which brings us to this week. What's the Shia's man? How long does it have to take? What is the duration of time that the person should spend to drink this Kos Kiddush? So, since we spoke about the Shia's man, Kedei Achilas Pras, eating a slice of bread, according to the different Mefoshim, Chaim Lur, etc., you could be either 2 minutes or 4 minutes. Accordingly, if it was longer than 4 minutes and it took him to drink this one cup of wine, which is unlikely,